This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Bridge Magazine has released a couple of pieces about a bit of turmoil within the Democratic Party. This week, I visited the Center for Michigan, which publishes Bridge, to chat with John Beeble about its Truth Squad project. He's the center's president, and here's our conversation.
There are four announced candidates for the Democratic nomination for governor. Businessman Bill Cobbs, businessman Sri Tanadar, former executive director of the Detroit Department of Health and Wellness Promotion, Abdul El Sayed, and former Ingham County prosecuting attorney and former minority leader of the Michigan Senate, Gretchen Whitmer. Whitmer, by far, is a frontrunner in that race, at least that's what conventional wisdom tells us, but a report by your Detroit editor, Joel Kurth, and reporter Mike Wilkinson, indicates there are figures within the Detroit area Democrats who are trying to recruit other candidates. Who's pushing for other candidates?
Mike Duggan, for one, according to our sources.
The Detroit mayor.
That's correct. The Detroit mayor, as well as some big labor forces within the Democratic Party. We weren't looking for this story, Lester, but we came across it in recent weeks and continued to pull string on it, and it was ultimately referred to us as the worst-kept secret in town. At that point, Bridge usually concentrates on factual reporting and issues reporting. Campaign horse race coverage is not our forte. It's not what we set up to do. This is an exception to that. This you can call it confusion, messiness, rivalry within the state Democratic Party just a few months before the primary election really has wider implications. It's a crucial election year. This governor elected this year, along with the legislature elected this fall, will oversee the next redistricting process, for example. It's a very high-stakes election, and for there to be this kind of question about a front-runner candidate at this stage, we thought that was an important story to break, even though it's a little out of our usual strike zone.
Who are these candidates that Duggan and others in Southeast Michigan want to run?
Well, we had multiple sources tell us there was a recent meeting in early January between Mayor Duggan and U.S. Senator Gary Peters. We were told by multiple sources that Duggan and some other party leaders asked Gary Peters to get in the race. Their concerns apparently have to do with Gretchen Whitmer's polling numbers and support level in the community in Metro Detroit, especially the city of Detroit. And that's why that approach was being made. We have other sources indicating that Dan Kildee, the congressman from the Flint area, also was recently approached about possibly getting back in the race. Both Senator Peters and Congressman Kildee have indicated to us that they have no intention of doing so.
Now, you did an analysis and you showed if Detroit is tepid toward Gretchen Whitmer, her chances are not very good. What did you find exactly?
Well, the data is part of what drove us to amplify this story. We're not out to get Gretchen Whitmer. The Center for Michigan and Bridge don't care who wins elections. We're here to report the facts and provide a sense of context for readers across the state. It's the data in this case that really amplifies this story for us. It is very tough to become governor of Michigan as a Democrat if you don't have very enthusiastic support in Southeast Michigan, especially Detroit. The last 50 years for the Democrats are littered with out-state Democratic candidates for governor who just couldn't get traction and did not have solid numbers in Detroit and Wayne County.
I've spoken to Democratic leaders in Detroit or in the area who note that Whitmer hasn't spent a lot of time there. They feel like she's taking the African-American vote for granted. That's something that Black Democrats are increasingly perturbed about. What kind of effort do you think a Democratic candidate will have to make in Detroit, not only to get the vote, but to get the turnout that's needed to win?
I honestly don't know. I'm not a political consultant. The news for us in this case was there are some deep questions within the party about who should be their nominee that go beyond the usual horse race of four candidates who are running.
Conventional wisdom says Democrats are expecting a backlash to President Donald Trump. What are the risks of relying too heavily on something like that?
Well, we had a high-ranking Democrat tell us this week that this issue, the Duggan-Whitmer issue, has taken a clear advantage and turned it into a jump ball for the Democratic Party.
Let's turn to the Republicans for a second. In It's Just Politics with Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta, they were talking about Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, who's running for governor, but he's polling behind Attorney General Bill Schuette. So Kelly has been taking some of the other candidates in the race and giving them more profile by debating them, such as Patrick Colbeck, who's another conservative, a lot like Schuette. And I guess the feeling is if Kelly can get that conservative split, he might be able to pick up the nomination. What does that look like to you?
Well, crowded primaries create strange bedfellows and unpredictable results. I don't know, maybe Lieutenant Governor Calley is taking a play out of his boss's playbook. If you recall, in 2010, the only way Rick Snyder became the Republican governor was to run between a bunch of party regulars who were all stacked up in the primary against him, and he ran right between them like it was the Green Bay Packers sweep.
Bridge Magazine's gearing up for its Truth Squad. Remind us what that is.
The Michigan Truth Squad started way back in 2010 when Snyder first ran for governor, actually. The Truth Squad sets out to examine political speech across the state, from the flyers that you listeners receive in your mailboxes to what you are going to increasingly see in your social media feeds this year, which are attack ads and fake politics and fake news and other campaign stuff. We have a team of reporters at Bridge who examine the ad claims and report to you what's fact and what's fiction, and we're launching that this week.
Michigan Radio and other news media outlets have worked with Bridge to disseminate those Truth Squad reports. That cooperation is unusual in many states. Why are you willing to share Truth Squad, and why do you think other news outlets are assisting you in your effort?
Well, I think fake politics and fake news are both on the rise in Michigan and elsewhere. And as journalists, we are on guard this year for the kind of dirty tricks that we saw in the 2016 presidential election campaign coming to bear here in Michigan. We're concerned about that. And I think as mainstream newsrooms have faced cutbacks in recent years, partners like Michigan Radio and Bridge Magazine and other nonprofit outlets are teaming up so that we don't get outnumbered by the many political consultants and politicians out there that are increasingly challenging to keep track of.
So you've released four Truth Squad reports this week. Let's briefly go over those four.
We've started this week with the governor's race, Bill Schuette, Brian Kelly on the Republican side, and Gretchen Whitmer and Abdul El-Sayed in the Democratic primary.
So you mentioned Bill Schuette. What is your report on the Attorney General?
Well, I'm sure we'll return to the Attorney General many times this year, given the high-profile nature of his campaign. We started with an examination of a claim, two claims, actually, that he is making in his early campaign materials and on his website. The first claim is that he's, quote, successfully sued to stop the Obama administration from imposing job-killing regulations. This centers on the EPA efforts to stop coal power plant pollution limits for mercury and other toxins. This is an issue that's been going on for years. The Schuette camp claims that he won a federal court battle that helped stop what they thought were these overburdensome regulations. The actual court record would suggest that that's a bit of a truth stretch. He did win a federal court decision, but in the end, there were other court decisions also at work, and the EPA's restrictions on coal-fired power plants largely remain in place today. And as a matter of fact, the utilities in Michigan are moving swiftly in response to these legal issues over the years to actually take coal-fired power plants out of commission. So to run a campaign based on the fact that you've stopped the big bad federal government from imposing these regulations is not accurately reflective of the record.
Let's talk about Brian Kelly. What'd you find out about Lieutenant Governor Kelly's campaign this early in the season?
With Brian Kelly, we looked at a couple of claims he's making in his early campaign materials. For starters, he is claiming to be, quote, the driving force between two historic tax cuts in Michigan. Part of what Kelly is talking about is what he touts as his role in eliminating the Michigan business tax, which the Snyder administration pushed for shortly after getting elected. What Kelly doesn't mention in that is that he actually was among the lawmakers that wrote that law in 2007.
The Michigan business tax.
The Michigan business tax.
Right.
So he actually wrote the law. And if you go on to True Squad, we'll show you a picture of him standing with Jennifer Granholm at the bill signing. So for him to run on overturning a law that he helped write perhaps is not the most truthful campaign ad in Michigan history.
Let's go to the Democrats. You mentioned Abdul El-Sayed. What have you found in his campaign?
Well, if Dr. El-Sayed's campaign is to be believed, he may reach superhero status if he is elected governor. He is promising quite a bit in some of his early campaign materials. I quote, "I will drive D.C., Washington, D.C., to pass Medicare for all."
That's a tall order for a governor.
Yeah. Healthcare policy is largely driven by the federal government, and governors don't have much sway over Congress, nor does anybody else. So it kind of defies belief that if we elect him governor, he's going to make this happen in Washington. And he's also said, if Washington can't do it, then, quote, we'll do what it takes to achieve universal health care as a state. That would also be a very tall order. Health care is a very, very complex issue. The Michigan legislature is far from united on these issues and far from experienced on these issues. He also makes no mention of how he would pay for what would be a pretty tremendous expansion of government. So he's making some big claims, and if he's elected, I guess we'll see how that turns out. But they certainly raised some eyebrows early on.
And finally, Gretchen Whitmer.
Much like Bill Schuette, I'm sure we will return to the former Senate Minority Leader and her campaign many times this year. To start, we looked at an issue that is very important to Gretchen Whitmer, which is prosecution of sexual assault and protection from sexual assault. Your listeners may know her more as Senate Minority Leader, but she also served a recent stint as the interim prosecutor for Ingham County. And in that brief time, she ended up getting involved in the Larry Nassar MSU sex assault investigations. She, Gretchen Whitmer, is positioning herself as a champion of sexual assault victims and wants to be tough on crime when it comes to women's rights and sex assault victims' rights. However, in December, the police chief for Michigan State University called her out and said that she had not been aggressive in handling the Nassar case. In response, True Squad examined email records between the MSU police chief and the prosecutor's office. And what we found is ultimately what Gretchen Whitmer did is she turned the case over to the state attorney general because the sex assault cases crossed multiple jurisdictions. It was her judgment that the case best belonged in the attorney general's hands. Schuette's office and Whitmer's office legally agree on that point, that that was the right thing to do. So True Squad is taking her position on this issue as accurate.
That's the first look at some of the Truth Squad reports. We will be seeing many of those from Bridge Magazine throughout the year, and many of them will be heard on Michigan Radio. That's John Bebo. He's president of the Center for Michigan, a nonprofit which, among other things, publishes the online magazine Bridge. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.